We're recording. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we are going to explain about fasting. Now, we have temptations, right? Who doesn't have temptations? Raise your hand if you don't have a temptation. If you don't have temptations. We all have temptations, right? And Allah gives us a command saying fast. Allah gives us a command saying fast. When Allah tells you fast, is fasting something that will bring you pain or will bring you pleasure? Well, let's say, wouldn't fasting cause pain to you? Then what were the temptations? The temptations say that, okay, because fasting causes pain to you, okay, your mind, then don't fast. Don't fast, why? Because you want to evade the pain. Evade the pain, okay, of fasting. On the other hand, if you obey the command of Allah and fast, wouldn't this one causes pain to you? Okay. So you pick the choice. Which one do you want to go? This is test of submission or test of Islam. Huh? Which way you want to go? Be submissive to temptations or be submissive to Allah?
To Allah.
To Allah. If you don't listen to Allah and you don't stop eating and drinking, then you become submissive to temptations. So Allah wants us to be controlled by His command, not to be controlled by temptation. And the way to prove that is fasting. How about prayer? Prayer, is it painful? Yeah, it causes pain, yeah. You know. How about, okay, so your temptation is saying skip prayer, but your conscience with the command of Allah saying, huh? Make prayers. Got that part right? Which is like the tests of submission. Okay. This is why they say Ramadan is a training camp, or Ramadan is an institution. Because you learn about all these things during Ramadan. So Ramadan makes you train that spiritual muscle. Spiritual muscle that makes you follow your conscience, follow command of Allah, and stay away from temptations. So that is a training camp. You do it during Ramadan. Also, it reminds us with the poor and needy people. I mean, do you know that there are people who are fasting 24/7? 24 hours a day, 7? Why are they fasting this way? Because they are poor. They have nothing to eat. Right? So, when you eat, when you stop eating, how many times you snack every day? Like 5 times? 4? Yeah. How many meals do you eat every day? 3. So snack 5, meals 3?
No. It's 5 in total, but like 3 meals and 2 snacks.
And 2 snacks. Do you ever feel very hungry? Like you're starving and you're really hungry? Other than Ramadan?
Mm-mm. I mean, yeah.
Okay. Now, yeah. Now, how long were you able to stay that way? Stand it?
Couple hours.
8 hours.
No, like, max 5 minutes.
No, I...
Is that often? Like, does it happen often, or like this is exceptional?
No, it happens often.
It happens often. Okay. Do you know that there are people who are fasting 24/7 because they don't have anything? It's not that because they want to lose weight. It's not because they are fasting, but because they don't have anything to eat. So that reminds you with the money, with the zakat. The zakat, that reminds you of paying the zakat. Okay, we have half of the class, you think. Now, there's another thing about fasting too. If I tell you that, don't tell anybody, and I sneak to the refrigerator, and I open the refrigerator, nobody's looking, and then I eat and drink. Why don't I do that? Why don't you do that? Yes, but nobody's watching you. Allah's watching you. So that is a feeling that you develop, that Allah's watching me. I'm not going to be sneaking to the refrigerator, eating and drinking, because Allah's watching me. So that brings something called God consciousness. Like you feel that Allah's watching you. Okay? Another good thing about Ramadan is that if you have proven in Ramadan that you can stay away from halal. Is eating halal? What's your name?
Maha.
Is eating halal Maha? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm drinking halal. How are you during Ramadan?
I'm not in
Ramadan. Ramadan became haram, right? If you prove that you can stay away from halal during Ramadan, which is eating and drinking, if you can stay away from halal during Ramadan, can you stay away from haram outside Ramadan? So inside Ramadan, you're staying away from haram and halal. So you've developed the ability to stay away from halal. So it makes more sense if you can stay away from halal, it makes more sense that you can stay away from halal and haram. So that's another good thing about Ramadan. That's why it is a training camp. And what is the fourth pillar?
Oh, wait, I know. Which
one? Huh?
Siyam.
Siyam. Okay, that's right. Siyam. Which is, hold on.
No, Siyam's the third one. Zakat's the fourth one.
No. Shahada Salah,
Zakat,
Siyam.
Zakat.
No, it's...
Shahada
Salah, Zakat, Siyam, Had.
No. It's Zakat and Siyam, you mix them up. Yeah, Siyam's yes. The third one. Zakat's the fourth one.
Yeah.
I just tested my little sister. I know this.
Okay. What about Zakat? You know that people love money so much?
Yeah.
Real. Some people don't go to sleep if they spend like $100 or something. They can't sleep all night long. Do you know that? Some people lose sleep over money. Not only that, but you know that some people get depressed when they have to pay money. So paying money for those kind of people is hard. So when the zakat time comes, they don't want to pay zakat. You know that some ladies will change their money into diamond, like they buy diamond with their money?
Yeah.
Hmm?
It's like shame come. Like they buy gold.
Yes, they say diamond is not zakatable. Diamond is not zakatable. So they convert their wealth into diamond to evade zakat. Do you know that anything you do with the intention of evading zakat counts as that you have not given your zakat? Okay? Even though technically speaking, diamond, there's no zakat on diamond, technically speaking, okay? But if you convert your money to diamond to avoid zakat, to avoid what? Can I get your name? What's your name? What's your name?
Abisha. No, I'm Abisha.
What's your name?
Asya.
Here, Asya. Okay? All right. So also some people, do you know that if you have the jewelry, if you have gold or jewelry that you're not using, do you know that you have to pay zakat on it? If you have a boat or an RV that you don't use for a year, do you know that you have to pay zakat on it? You know that? Are you, do you know that? If you have something, gold, jewelry, that you haven't used for 1 year, do you have to pay, do you know that you have to pay zakat on it? You know that? If you have an RV, like a recreational vehicle, if you have a boat, if you have something that you haven't used for a year, then you have to pay zakat on it. Got it? How about if you used it, then you don't have to pay zakat? Now, some people, to avoid zakat, okay, they come in the very last day, so after 360 days, okay? How many?
365.
They come?
This year there's
366.
This year there's 366.
Yes.
Oh my God.
They come and the day, and on the day 365, they use it. They use the stuff. Like they use, they wear their jewelry or they go take the boat and have fun. Now, why would they do that?
So that they don't have to pay zakat.
They don't have to pay zakat. That's right. They don't have to pay zakat. Now, when you do that, okay. Do you have the sins of not paying zakat? Yes. Why? Because any act,
not to pay
yes, zakat. To avoid zakat, any act that you do to avoid zakat is equal not giving zakat. Even though technically speaking, you don't have to pay zakat, but you, I mean, if you have used it within the year, but if your intention is to evade the zakat, then it's like you evaded the zakat. Okay? So, really, really, people love money, sometimes get depressed, sometimes they can't go to sleep if they spend money. Go ahead.
Wait, so, like, isn't it like everything you have to pay zakat for it?
If you don't use it for a year. Like your money, if you don't use your money for a year, if you have a saving account, you haven't used the money for a year, then you pay zakat. So, let's say you mark Ramadan as the month that you pay zakat. A lot of people do that because they feel that month 70 times reward. So they say we want to maximize our zakat by paying the during the month of Ramadan. Somebody is just falling asleep down back there.
Hmm? Are you recording?
Yes. Okay. So if you, let's say at Ramadan, you count how much money you have is $10,000. So the next Ramadan, you have how many? Let's say $2,000. So you base a cap on the what, $1,000 or $2,000? Whatever you had a year ago. Okay, you understand? So whatever you have a year ago, you base a cap. But if you don't, like, for example, this year you have 1,000. During this Ramadan you have 1,000. And during the following Ramadan you have 30,000. So you pay zakat on the 10,000 or 30,000?
30,000.
No, 10,000. Let's say this is 1998 and this is 1999. Let's say that. So, 1998, you had 10,000. 1,000.
That's 1,000.
Yes. 100,000. Oh, sorry, 1,000. Okay? After a year, it became, I mean, you have 30,000. So, which money do you base account? The 1,000, that's right. So pay zakat for the 1,000 only. What if you lose money? Like you have 1,000, the next year you have 500. Do you need to pay zakat? No. If you lose money, you don't pay zakat. Got it? Zakat is only for the not using, for the part that's not being used. Zakat is for the part that's not being used for 1 year. Remember that. Part that has not been used for 1 year. Now, there are other situations. How much is the zakat of the individual income zakat? So you pay here, pay zakat for what? For $1,000. So how much is the zakat for $1,000? 2.5%. So what's the zakat for $1,000? 25 dollars, right? Yeah. 250, 25. In this case, $20. So you pay for $20, $25. Do you understand? Okay. Is it always 22.5%? No. If you are planting, if you're a farmer and you're planting, okay? Do you have any idea what's the ratio for planting if you're a farmer? It is either 10% or 20%, depending on, okay, the day you harvest. Allah said the day you harvest, you have to pay the zakat. So it has to be paid. Clear instructions by Allah in the Quran, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِ, means in the day you gather, you collect, you harvest, you have to pay zakah right then. So you put aside 10% right away. 10% for zakah. Right away. You don't wait. You don't wait. Just 10% right away. Which is good. This would be your zakah. Now, when do you pay 20% zakah? Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Take this back. When do you pay? You pay either 5% or 10%. So which, why do you pay 5%? What makes you pay 5% one time and another time you pay 10%? What's the criteria here? Actually, if you get the land is watered by, if you have an, the land is watered by rain, you're so gifted, the land is watered by rain, then you pay 10%. But if you have to bring the water in, like by pump or by bucket or by whatever, then the zakah is 5%. Why? Explain the wisdom behind that. Huh?
Because if like water comes in, then it'll be, the zakah will be less if you pay for the water too. But if it's rain, then it's free. So that's why you're
different. That's right. The money, the water comes for you for free. It's also more blessing from Allah. And you should do more thanking for more blessings. Good job. Abisha? No, this is Abisha, right? And you? Asya. Okay. There are two students, I send an email. Two students need to meet me after this class. Are they here?
No.
Okay. Apparently. Okay. How about the oil? How much is the zakat for oil and mines? Like iron, you know, mines, when you get things, iron, coal. Oil, gold, found gold, diamond. You find these mines on the ground. Huh? So what's the ratio? What would be the zakat? 20%. 20%. So 5 to 10% for farming. And 20% for mining. Okay? Including oil. Do you know if the oil... Go ahead.
What if for farming, like, what if you use both rain and you pay for the water?
You make an estimate.
So you do it in the middle?
Yeah, it depends. How long? Like if you say you get a month of rain, or you get 11 months of rain, or you get 7 months of rain, you just prorate it. There always been a rule that is very nice. What is that rule? You always go take the, to be conservative, to be on the conservative side. So if I'm not sure, then I will go with what?
10%.
Exactly. If I'm not sure, I go with the 10%. Okay? Usually it's always safe. One time I faced a situation where I have my 401k retirement money aside. There is a formula for retirement money. Whatever is available to you, okay, you pay zakah on whatever is available to you and the retirement money. And this is usually a fraction of what you have in your retirement account. So let's say 30% of your retirement account, okay, are eligible to zakat. Now, what I do, I go onto the conservative side, and then I just use what, 100%. You got it? So many people do that. What is it? You come and see what you have, total what you have, and then you pay 2.5%. Easy, okay? Is that conservative? Yes, it's conservative. Because you're supposed to pay 2.5% on the money that you haven't used for a year. But in many cases, okay, I just pay for 2.5% of the money that I have during Ramadan, all of it. Even though this is more, but the remaining part is going to be what, Maha? It's going to be what, Dima? Huh? The remaining part is charity. You got it? So let's say your zakat is 1,000. You pay 2,000. So the other 2,000 is charity, extra, top. And this way you will become on the conservative side. Okay. A lot. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something amazing. Something amazing. You would probably say, you would probably be so surprised of that thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I swear by Allah that the charity does not decrease the wealth. Charity does not decrease the wealth. You tell me. Charity doesn't decrease the wealth. You know, materialistic people who don't believe in Allah, or who believe that they have weak faith of Allah, they say, look, the Prophet said charity doesn't decrease the wealth. I can prove you wrong. They grab their calculator and they say, I have $1,000. I pay $25 zakah. So $250 zakah. Then I have what? $750 left. So you say I have $1,000. And then I pay zakah, so I pay 200 charity. What? How much remains with me if I pay 200 charity? How much remains from the 1,000? $800. Dima, $800. Okay? Then they say, look! The Prophet is saying, I swear by Allah. Does the Prophet need to swear by Allah? He always says the truth, right? But he is saying, I swear by Allah, to shock the human mind. The human mind, because this is a fact that a lot of people will deny. I can tell you up front. A lot of people, they say that charity decreases the wealth. But a Prophet said, no. Allah also sweared by the Quran about that your shares are pre-assigned. Why would Allah swear? Is Allah, does Allah, astaghfirullah al-azim, would not say the truth? No, but he's swearing what? To shake your mind, hello? Because he's saying a fact that is being rejected, okay, by many people. So How would this work? Can you explain? Do you have an idea how this worked? And how come the charity doesn't decrease the wealth even though you have $800 instead of $1,000?
Because then when like maybe Allah will make it that you spend your money wisely, or you'll be like able to find some sales or something on the item that wasn't there if you didn't pay charity.
Takbir. MashaAllah. Okay, so we have two people. One said, I will not pay zakah. The other one said, I'll pay zakah. So the one who doesn't pay zakah ends up with $1,000. And the one who pays zakah ends with $800. What Sadia said, she said, Allah will bless those $800. So, blessed. Do you know about, is blessed 2S?
Yeah, that's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Okay. So Allah will bless the $800. Do you know about efficiency? Did you ever hear about the concept efficiency? Maha? Do you know what efficiency is?
Yeah.
Somebody being efficient? Efficient means like can get like my time is more efficient than your time. It means that, huh? No, I get more. Like let's say, she's more efficient than me. It means that if I spend 1 hour, let's say, if she spends 1 hour, she gets $100. If I spend 1 hour like work for 1 hour, I get $500. So which one is more efficient?
You.
I'm getting for what? She's getting how much?
100.
I'm getting what? 500. Then I'm more efficient than her. That's right. So there is more efficiency. There is also efficiency in terms of the input and the output. So efficiency, input, and there is output. Efficiency means you have more, you get more output for the same input. You get more output for the same input. So let's say the $800, because I paid zakah, Allah will make them 100% efficient. 100% efficient. How about the $1,000? Huh? Let's say Allah, because you didn't pay charity, Allah will make it 80% efficient. So, or Allah make them 50% efficient. 50% efficient means they are equivalent to 500. You got it? So, if you have low efficiency, $1,000, 50% efficiency, they are equivalent or equal to $500. But if I have $800, 100% efficiency because I paid zakat, then how much do I have?
$800.
Which one has more? Which one has more now? I ended up with $800 because I paid zakat. He ends up with $500 because he didn't make zakat. So this is how it works. Allah will make your money efficient, which is blessed. Allah will make your money efficient. I'll give you an example. Isn't it true that sometimes you go shopping and you get so much money for so, and you get so much stuff for little money? And then somebody was going to go and do the same things and will pay more for the same thing. I'll give you an example. Let's say you buy a door for your house. You know, when you do shopping, you can get it cheap, right? So you do shopping and you get it for $80 because you paid your charity. The other guy who didn't pay his charity might get it for $5,000. right? So it all depends on your money. Is it blessed or not? If it's blessed, it will be efficient. If it's not blessed, it will not be efficient. You got it? You got that? Let's say a guy who doesn't pay charity, he ends up getting a traffic ticket for $200. And he ends up getting a hospital bills for like $300. You understand? You understand? Allah will make him lose money. Spend money, like if you spent $500 on a traffic ticket, what did you get out of it? Nothing. But if this person is saved from the traffic ticket, then this person, okay, kept his money. You understand? So Allah might save this guy from a traffic ticket and give this guy a traffic ticket. Okay? You understand? So these are all blessing. Who controls blessing? Allah. He might make your money efficient or might make your money not efficient. Sometimes you have very little money and you buy a lot of things. And sometimes you have a lot of money and you pay nothing. Almost. You got nothing. You spend it in hospital bills, traffic tickets, blah, 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 blah. And you end up with nothing. Do you understand now? So the one has more efficiency will have more money. The more zakah you make, the more efficient your money. The more zakah you pay, the more Allah makes your money efficient. The less zakah you pay, Allah will make your money less efficient. Got it? Okay. So that's about efficiency. Huh? This is about efficiency. How about pushing away harm? Let's say Allah, you paid your zakah. Then Allah, because you paid your zakah, Allah will save you from a disease that's going to really, really make you suffer. Okay? Suffer financially and suffer. Your body suffers. Emotionally you suffer. And financially you suffer. So, you pay the zakah, Allah will push away things from you. You don't pay the zakah, then you get it. You keep getting it. You keep, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you the disease, not save you from the disease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the ticket. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So life is full of opportunities. Who controls the opportunities? Allah. If Allah wants to make you rich, He will make you make the right selections. The right selection at the right time. Give you a good opportunity because He wants to make you rich. Okay? So you go and you buy, let's say if you sell and buy a house, then Allah will make you buy your house low and sell your house high. Why? Because He wants to make you rich. If Allah wants to make me poor, then what happens? Allah will make me buy the house high and sell the house low. Okay, do you see that control that Allah does? If Allah wants to make you poor, anytime you do a business, you run out of business. You keep trying another business, you run out of business. Why is that? Your money is not being blessed. Your money is not being efficient. Because you didn't pay zakat. On the other hand, if you pay zakat, you try this business, the business works and succeeds. And here you go, you're making so much money. Because, another example, because you didn't pay zakat, you get laid off from your job, as an example. But because you paid zakat, you don't lose your job, Dima, right? Okay. All right. Oh, Dima, come on. Okay? You understand that? Now, there's a very alerting story about a guy from the children of Israel who used to disobey Allah so much. Disobeying Allah, making so many wrong things. Disobeying Allah. And then he goes and says, Ya Allah, I have been disobeying you so much and you didn't punish me. So Allah sent a message to the Prophet at that time. Go tell my slave that how many times I punish you and you don't feel that I'm punishing you. You got it? So Allah's punishing him and he doesn't feel the punishment. For example, Allah's giving him, let's say, a nagging spouse. Allah gave him, naughty kids, naughty boys and girls. Allah gives him a bad boss, You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Allah's punishing him, but he doesn't understand that he's being punished. So the Prophet at this time went and told him, Allah has been punishing you left and right, and you don't feel it.
He doesn't notice it.
Exactly. He doesn't know that. See, if you never know what's going to happen. Are you going to be laid off or not? Allah controls that. You see? You understand here? Your mind is open to this? So, if Allah wants to make you rich, He's going to make you succeed, help you succeed in any business you make. If Allah wants to make you poor, He'll make you fail any business you make. And I've seen these situations. I've seen a guy who doesn't pay charity, and every time he's getting a fine from somewhere, or he's getting things, his money is not being efficient at all. Okay. So people love money. Those who are submissive to Allah, they pay zakah. Those who are not submissive to Allah, they fail the test of submission, they don't pay zakah. All right. Last but not least, which is the fifth pillar?
Hajj.
That's right. Is that right?
Yeah.
Fourth pillar, I'm sorry. The fourth pillar is?
Zakah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The fourth
is
Zakah. Okay. And the fifth? Hajj, that's right.
What's the first? Oh, never mind.
Shahada. You don't have shahada, you don't have shahada, then forget it.
If you don't pray, then forget it.
If you don't pray, then forget it. And so forth.
If you don't fast, then what?
Then it's a sin. By the way, not praying is a sin. But not making shahada is not a sin. It's not making shahada is not a sin. It's like they call it dead point. Like you don't pray, I'm sorry, you don't say shahada, you're done with. But you say shahada, if you say shahada, then if you don't pray, it's a sin. If you don't fast, it's a sin. If you don't pay zakah, it's a sin. You understand that? It's all sins. But you don't say la ilaha illallah, you're done with. Case closed. It doesn't matter what you do. Okay? All right. So, do you know people who travel for fun?
Yeah, because they're so rich.
Not really. Some people put aside money so that they can have good vacations and travel for fun. Do you know that people travel for fun sometimes go to a World Cup? Is it crowded or not crowded?
Crowded.
It's crowded. Yeah, like the world.
Like the soccer thing.
Yeah.
Like Argentina.
Yeah. Is it crowded or not crowded? It is crowded. Right? It's very crowded. So they go there and they for fun. Now Muslims go to Mecca for Allah, not for fun, for Allah. Is it crowded or not crowded? It's crowded. Now you need to pay attention to little tricks here. What are these tricks? It's gone from my mind. So, yes, the tricks are Sometimes, okay, sometimes you make Hajj, people go make Hajj and die. Like, do you remember last Hajj, the crane that fell on the people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Some people say, how come? How come this happened? And people are going for Hajj and Allah will make the crane falls on them.
Uh-huh.
Do you know?
They died. Allah has a reason for everything.
Yes. Huh?
They died doing something for Allah.
They might. Do you remember the fire that came in during the Hajj?
Yeah.
And a lot of people died because of the fire. They burned into the fire. Do you know that in a tunnel, the two blocks of bodies of Hujjaj were clashing against each other? This one is pushing this way, the other one is pushing that way?
No.
Yes, and a lot of people died. One might say, hey, you go to die even though you're going for God. The answer is, God did not promise us to suspend the laws of nature in Hajj. So the laws of nature are the same in Hajj. Whatever applies to the laws of nature outside Hajj, it applies during Hajj. This is why... Go ahead. This is why I heard a masjid was burned. So the guy, the Muslim, he wasn't so knowledgeable. Guess what did he say? Huh? What do you expect he said? What's your name? Basma, you're supposed to meet me after this class? Okay.
Yes.
My mom said, like, I mean, I don't know if this is true, the people who went, like, go to Umrah and Hajj and all that, like, all their deeds are wiped away. So when they die, does that mean they go to Jannah?
Yes, they die as shaheed. When they die their Hajj, Allah resurrects you in the Day of Judgment with the close of Hajj. And Allah will resurrect you in the Day of Judgment saying, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ. Such a wonderful status. There was an important trick here. There was a masjid that got burned. There is a masjid that got burned. And there was a guy inside this masjid who wasn't really very much knowledgeable. So he cried and he said, it's a house of Allah. I expected this house not to burn. It's the house of Allah. He should protect his house. How come it's the house of Allah and it got burned? You understand the problem? So how do you answer that? You say, this is a masjid, this is the house of Allah, but it got burned. It burned. So how come it's the house of Allah and burns? Shouldn't Allah protect his own house?
Probably the people who would go, like, a lot of people did bad deeds, like, might have done bad deeds after they go, like, out of Hajj and all that, so he was probably helping them. That's why he left the fire and, like...
What happened is that it happened in a mosque that was burned down, and it's a true story, and the guy, I have it actually in video, and the guy said, it was the house of Allah. How come it burned it? I don't know. How would Allah leave his house burned? What would be your answer?
He has a reason for it.
Yes, and Allah does not suspend the laws of nature. The laws of nature, if you don't make sure, if you don't take precautions, then Allah is not going to exempt you from the laws of nature. You understand? So in order to avoid that the house is burning, you need to guard the house. I'm sorry, the masjid is burning. You need to guard the masjid. You need to have sprinklers, fire sprinklers. You need to have fire extinguisher. Like, yes, you have to have it. Okay? It doesn't matter. If it's a masjid, you don't say it's a masjid. Allah will protect the masjid. Okay? No, you need to remember the concept of depending on Allah. You need to do your job first and then depend on Allah to make your effort successful. So you need to put sprinklers, you need to put fire extinguisher, you need to put fire alarms, you need to put all these things. And then depend on Allah to protect the masjid. But you don't do anything and then you expect Allah to protect the masjid without you making your part. Sorry, Allah does not suspend the laws of nature. Allah does not. Another thing that also got my mind, there was a, remember 9/11?
Yeah.
After 9/11, there was a priest making speech, not a priest, like one of those very high-ranking religious people. And he was saying, I don't understand why Allah will allow such a thing to happen and will allow his children to burn and die in 9/11. What would you answer him? Huh? Forget about, let's say his children. But what would you answer that? Huh? Allah has free choice. Allah gave us free choice, right? By giving us free choice means that we can do good and what?
Evil.
So there is something called free will. If Allah would stop evil from happening, would we have free will? It's very important to realize that. If Allah would stop evil from taking place, would we have a free will? So in order to have a free will, Allah, huh? Yes, not have. Allah allows people to do evil. So that we have the choice, either evil or good. But if evil is stopped by Allah, then there's no free will. So he failed to understand that. And then another guy says, I don't know how would Allah burn his children in fire. Well, how many people die in fire during this life? How many people died in fire? How many people died in last century because of the technology of death? Bombs, burned them, bombs, and things like that.
Allah.
So Allah's showing us that He's burning people in this life. Why do you think that He's not going to burn people in the next life?
Because people will be cautious.
Huh? Because some people say, we can't believe Allah would burn His children in the hereafter. My answer is, well, you don't have to wait for the hereafter to see the burning. Look, right now Allah's burning people. People get burned by bombs, by technology of death, by fire, accidental fire, by car accidents. Isn't it happening? Yes, it's happening. Now, why would you think that He would not burn people in the day of judgment? If He's already burning people here. Do you understand? Some people get burned just act of God. Just an act of God. They didn't do anything wrong. Just an act of God. Okay? So who's burning them? Who burned them? Allah. So why wouldn't He burn people, bad guys, on the day of judgment? It doesn't make sense, huh? Some people so fallen so much in love with Allah that they miss the picture. They can't see the picture, the overall picture. Okay? The overall picture. All right? And inshallah, next time we will talk about the pillars of faith. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. What happened? Who did the homework and who?
Did the homework.
So you did the homework. Okay. Now both of you are equally blamable. Okay. So in order to remove this from your record, okay, you need to play what I said today. It will be online posted. Let's not say today, but last week. You replay the audio recording, and you type every single thing we talked about. So you play 30 or 40 minutes of audio recording, and you type. This will erase your cheating thing. And same thing here. If you do that, like now you did last week, you did 2 weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? You play the recording, and you type every word in the recording. Okay? She doesn't have to submit the homework that she did because she did it already. You do have to submit. Is there any more than two homework? Just the last two? Okay. All right. That's it.